Greetings and welcome to the latest edition of the Entheogenic Evolution Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Martin, and I'm happy to have you with me today. For this week's episode, I have a new interview for all of you out there in listener land. My guest this week is Andrew Tansel, and he runs Sayulita Wellness Retreat in not quite Sayulita, Mexico. Used to be in Sayulita, Mexico, but recently has moved to another location that's just outside of town, but they kept the name. We had a great conversation a couple months ago. Andrew talks about how his life was really changed in a powerful way through his experience with 5-MeO-DMT and what inspired the building up of Sayulita Wellness and what they offer there. So it's a conversation about a retreat in Mexico. Of course, there are many retreats out there, and this is one of them. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes, but of course, some announcements first. I guess the first announcement is that you can probably tell by the sound of my voice that I am not completely well yet, still have some lingering symptoms from COVID hanging on, some sinus congestion, a little throat irritation. It's certainly nothing compared to what it was at its peak, at the very worst of this very, very brutal illness. So still working on feeling better. I've had a busy past week doing consultations, got in an interview for the podcast, so it's nice to be back into the swing of things. And other than sounding a little bit funny and a little bit of sinus pressure that's still going on inside my head, mostly doing better, but still looking forward to getting this thing completely moved out, hopefully sometime really soon. I do want to thank Brooke and Nick, both of whom have made contributions via PayPal in support of the Entheogenic Evolution podcast. Of course, this is a listener-supported podcast. And always appreciate any contributions that you, the listener, can make in support of the work that I'm doing here at this podcast, which, as I mentioned, is now 16 years old. There's been a lot of supporters over the years. And, you know, honestly, actually, people making donations through PayPal has definitely dropped off over the years. But I'm always happy to receive a little bit of something thrown my way. It's great. You know, it does cost me money to host this podcast for the storage and bandwidth. And happily, Podomatic, which is my host, has actually upped the storage amount in recent months. So that means it's going to be a while before I need to start deleting old episodes again. But if you want access to old episodes of the Entheogenic Evolution podcast, one way to do that is to support me over at Patreon. I have a variety of different tiers of levels of support. Starts at $1 a month, which is just really basic support, not very much, but it's always great to have people come in at the $1 level, and it goes all the way up to $100 a month, which also gets you a one-hour monthly video call with me, which a number of people take advantage of over there at Patreon to help guide them through their process, help them reflect, or sometimes just shoot the breeze, just have somebody to talk to, which I'm always happy to do. But starting at the $20 a month level and everything up from that, you get access to the entire Entheogenic Evolution back catalog and archive that I've posted over at my Patreon page that is exclusively available for my Patreon supporters. There's over 100 hours of old episodes over there. So it's a great way to support me, support the podcast, and of course you get something in return that for the most part, it's only the bottom couple levels over at Patreon. They don't really get necessarily anything in return other than knowing that they're supporting me in the podcast. But everywhere from $20 up a month, you get benefits and gifts and access. So it actually, I'm working for it. So just so you know, but you can always stop by at patreon.com/MartinWBall if you want to sign up over there. And they've also instituted now that you can, quote, follow my Patreon page for free if you want, just to see what I'm posting over there. And, a few people have done that, and that's fine. But thanks to everyone who's been a supporter over at Patreon. There's no obligation. You can change your subscription amount whenever you like to whatever you like. You can cancel it at any time, no obligation to stick on, so you can come for as long as you want and get what you need and then move on if you want. But thanks to all my supporters at Patreon, that your support really means a great deal to me and helps support me while I'm doing non-paid work such as writing, creative projects, etc., etc. And of course, the relatively new shop that they've made available over at Patreon is a great way to buy books directly from me. I've put a number of PDFs of my books available over there, which gets you full color prints, well, not prints, but full color versions of my books that contain a lot of my artwork. And of course, the highlight of that for me is the newly released AI imagined art illustrated version of my 2016 novel, The Solendarian Game. It features over 600 AI-generated images to illustrate the novel, which is about an enlightened artificial intelligence that pretty much decides to steer human society and culture and branch them out into the galaxy. And we've got a number of AI avatar characters within the story. 5-MeO-DMT and Sonoran Desert Toads play a major role within the book. There's a lot of information about working with 5-MeO-DMT and what the experience is all about within it. There's a lot of cosmology. There's a lot of non-dual philosophy. We've also got some Burning Man in there. There's a lot going on in the novel. I think it's a lot of fun. It's also available in print, of course, and it's also available in audiobook if you want to check it out. But I really highly recommend the AI imagined art illustrated version. I think it's a great way to access the story and visually represent it. And I'm really proud of it. I think it's super cool. And it's a really fun book. Anyway, in other news, of course, I am available for 30, 60, and 90-minute consultations to help you navigate your experience with psychedelics. I come from a non-dual and energetic perspective. I take a very rational, grounded approach to talking about these things. I'm not going to throw a bunch of spiritual mumbo-jumbo your way, not going to throw a lot of dogma. Not interested in that kind of stuff, but helping people from a grounded, rational, non-dual approach to their experience. You can stop by it at www.nondualentheogenicintegration.com if you want more info. I'm happy to set up a call with you. And every week I do talk to people from all around the world, from all walks of life, all different kinds of experiences, and more than happy to help you. And let's see. So I think that's my announcements for today. Of course, you can always stop by my personal webpage, martinball.net, if you want more information about any of my books, music, art, integration, anything like that. It's all available. It's all there. But let's go ahead and turn to the conversation with Andrew Tansel. If you want to check out Sayulita Wellness online, you can go to www.sayulitawellnessretreat.com, and there will also be a link in the notes for the podcast episode for this week. All right, next week we'll have another chapter from the audiobook to Facilitating 5-MeO-DMT. Of course, all my audiobooks are available over at Audible, Amazon, and the iBookstore to keep you busy listening to amazing information that, honestly, you're not ever going to find anywhere else. That's just the fact of the matter. So anyway, let's get into our conversation with Andrew. Hope you enjoy it. And I hope for next week's episode that my voice sounds back to normal and no longer that little undertone of I'm congested and sick. But we'll see. This thing is lingering. So anyway, here we go with Andrew. Please enjoy. Okay, well, today on the Entheogenic Evolution podcast, I am welcoming Andrew Tansel. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Nailed it.
Okay, I should have asked you before I hit record. And Andrew is the founder of Sayulita Wellness Retreat in Mexico. And I've got Andrew on the podcast today just to talk all about running a psychedelic retreat that works with psilocybin mushrooms in Mexico and just all the ins and outs of that. And also just hoping to get to know you, Andrew, and hear a little bit of your own personal story of how you got into creating Sayulita Wellness. So welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, Martin. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So let's just start with how are things down in Sayulita today? I believe you guys recently had a hurricane not too long ago.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I'm actually in Denver now. Okay. I travel quite a lot. I go to like conferences and that sort of thing. And I'm kind of centrally located here, and I go down to Sayulita about once a month. And, but yeah, we did just get hit by a hurricane. You know, like our like retreat centers, like a castle or fortress, like, I experienced one of the hurricanes, I think it was last year or the year before down there. And we like got super prepared and we're just like, all right, guys, we actually had a retreat going on. And like, I was like, I don't know if this is like a good idea, if we should just fly these people out of here. And everyone at the retreat just like slept through the night. It's like, no problems. Everyone's like, was there a hurricane? It's like,
yeah.
Like it's kind of like just this huge, the way they build buildings in Mexico is like 3 feet of concrete for exterior walls. I mean, it's like, it's excessive and it really is kind of hurricane proof. And so we're right here on the beach and it was still just kind of like a big storm. So it's not that big of a deal. It's gotta be pretty crazy to really kind of affect the way of life down there, the way they have things set up.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. Yeah, I was recently in Florida for the hurricane that hit there, and I was just on the outskirts of it, and I'd never been in a hurricane before. And, you know, not that I'm looking for widespread destruction and panic and chaos or anything, but I was actually a little disappointed that it wasn't a bit more intense than what I got, just, you know, for the experience of a hurricane that, as you said, did a lot of preparation, and then it was like, oh, this is it? Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Why'd I board up my windows?
Yeah. So Andrew, I always like to start kind of with people's individual stories, that it's always interesting to hear how people got involved in whatever level that they're participating in the psychedelic world. And of course, as we've already mentioned, you run a retreat, but I'd just be curious to have you share any of your own personal story of what inspired you on this path, what got you into working with psychedelic medicines and wanting to offer it through sort of this structured luxury retreat, which we'll talk more about in a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. Great question. So I struggled with mental health from like 29 to basically when I went to the retreat, which was like about 8 years, eight years, something like that. And I previously like went to hospitals, like 120 grand hospital bills, tried like everything under the sun to kind of fix anxiety. Anxiety would kind of, it turned into depression sometimes in my 30s. And I had like burnout from like running businesses and things like that. And just had like overall poor mental health and kind of like a joyless life for almost a decade. And to like preface that, I was like really happy through my 20s. And so like it just kind of like all collapsed, so to speak, for me. And I felt like I was like a shell of a man for quite a number of years. And I was like, I knew I had the skills. I knew I could kind of, you know, at least create my own life. I just wondered why I couldn't really fix my mind. And so after like years of frustration and like just seeking out just everything as far as resources, spiritual teachers, going to churches, you know, like just learning about myself and the mind and the chemistry of everything, and also trying like traditional medications. You know, I probably gave up like 3 or 4 times, honestly, but maybe a stroke of luck. Whenever COVID hit, I went down to Mexico and I went to this retreat and sort of just like on an insight, like answered an Instagram ad. And my experience with it was, you know, really profound. I'm not a religious person at all. And in my experience, like God just like came down out of the sky and like connected with me and had that spiritual experience. Everyone's like spiritual experience that they, you know, get as a benefit of like doing psychedelics for those, you know, people that do. It looks different. And like, that's just what came through for me and just showed me my life, and it healed like maybe like half of my stuff, right? Like just came out the other side with this clarity and this renewed sense of purpose and this energy to like live my life. And it was like a reset. And I remember talking with my sister on the phone, like just a couple weeks after, and I'd kind of shared my, you know, mental health journey with her. I was pretty quiet about it with, you know, kind of everybody, because I didn't think that like it was anybody else's problem. And I didn't think that anybody would really even know how to help me fix it. And, but she was kind of in a place of understanding of that. And I talked to her and I was like, dude, I'm just going to have version 2 of me now. And that's really what this retreat in psychedelics gave me in that experience, is like, I just got to completely just have a new life after all that struggle and all that, you know, frustration and pain and like kind of hopelessness of like not having the resources like in the Western world to have that thing fixed that was going on with my mind. and was able to really move forward. And of course, like the first like 30 days, I'm just kind of this afterglow. And after that, I was really, you know, ambitious about bringing this resource to people in Canada, people in the US, people in Europe, people in New Zealand and Australia, you know, people that are struggling with the same problems I am that are probably kind of at the end of the rope as well. And so pretty quickly, kind of put a plan together, brought it to my current partners who they've been doing these treatments and these retreats down here in Mexico for like 12 years. And so they're really veterans and some of the greatest and probably the greatest in Mexico, honestly. And I really value them and what they're doing. So we really kind of built the rest of the infrastructure to bring this really great system to like the people of, you know, the rest of the world besides outside of Mexico.
Yeah. So with your own personal story, I just wanted to pick up on what you mentioned about not necessarily being a religious person, but that you experienced this state of God and that that was very transformative for you. And that's a point that I always like to dig into a little bit more. Because, you know, some people obviously come from a religious background and sometimes they're disappointed that they don't meet God in their psychedelic experience. And then there's people who come from no religious background whatsoever and they have these kinds of experiences and it can be deeply transformative, but also can be disorienting. If you're quote unquote not a believer and then suddenly, well, I've had this experience, and that's kind of where I identify as well, that I am not a religious person, but I'm more than happy to talk about God because that's the reality that I've experienced and not the mythical religious version of God, but this one that's much more intimate. So just wondering if you would like to expand on that at all in terms of how you, what kind of adjustments that made for you in your own personal worldview and your own sense of being?
Yeah, great question. So in the experience, well, I'll say this first. Like, if you want to meet God and talk to God, you got to ask. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I've spoken with a lot of people that would want something and they haven't asked and put effort towards that connection because it's just the same thing as anything else. You can have anything in life. And if you wholeheartedly ask and you move forward in that direction, you always find it. And so I say that before I say this because, you know, God came in my life that day and, you know, changed me. And just literally, like, when I connected with him, like, the upper half of my body just cleared. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, that's why I said, like, half my stuff just literally, he took it. I felt like I was a planet. I felt like I was a sun. I felt like I was just empty. And he just took me. And I had him there for, like, probably 5 minutes. And the only thing I ever asked him was, like, how are you doing this? And I was like, man, I probably could ask anything. You know what I'm saying? But the only thing I kept asking was like, how are you doing this? And he's like, spiritual power. The same answer every single time. I'm just like, oh, man, like, how are you doing this? So I felt like just a little kid in that moment. But I think that's like how we're supposed to feel, or maybe just how it's natural to feel in that space. And he brought me back to like a place of like innocence again, where like I didn't hold all these things in my life against myself anymore. And I found self-love like a much more natural thing as a result of that. And I think the most important thing was the relationship. I know this, you know, in the sense of like after that experience, I had a relationship with, you know, that God, that spirit, that one, that consciousness, that us, whatever that is. And that guided me in my life every single day and still does. And that's been the most profound change for me, not just like the medicine side, but like what that connection created in my life was this awareness and this intelligence to do what's best for me. And I believe the human does what's best for themselves. And of course, you've got to prioritize yourself in order to do that. But if you do what's best for yourself and you have that connection, then you just improve your life like in exponential magnitudes over time, because that's really how we're designed to operate and to live. And I think having him as a like anchor in my life has just made things just exponentially better over time. And so like I know the medicine experience really cleared my mind and helped me like create that connection, but that relationship is in like a non-religious way, that relationship has just made my life thousands of times better, especially since that experience has happened. And so that's like the probably biggest benefit out of that. And, you know, in that experience, I'll say one more thing. The first thing he said to me was like, "What's up, dude?" I was like, "That's my God." I was like, "What's up, dog? Like, how are you, man?" So God's funny too, man. And I think, you know, I did come from a religious background, and I, you know, you learn God as an idea, and what's got to die for you to know God is the idea you have of God. And so that was an opportunity for me to really like kill that idea and open up my heart to really what he was and to let him see me. And when I let him see me, that's when I changed, you know, from the inside out. And like, I mean, my life has been just beautiful since then. And I would wish that for every human, and, you know, to, you know, find that connection in their heart, because it's already there, because God's inside you. There's like nothing to fear of God. And that's something that he's taught me for probably like 2 years, is like that there is no fear, like that you are wholeness, essentially, like we talked about before the podcast, is that, you know, there is absolutely nothing to fear. And that's the fundamental state of our being or our awareness. And like making a relationship with him has helped me like understand that, and just to move forward like very quickly and fearlessly, obviously, in life, in order to, you know, serve life itself and just be a sort of vehicle for, you know, whatever that teaching is that he has for like all of us, which is, you know, really, I think at the baseline level, just to be love and to share that.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to echo just a few of the things that you mentioned there, and just thank you for that beautiful sharing. But I love this idea of welcoming that experience of God into your heart, that this, and that we have to really get rid of our ideas of what we think God is in order to experience this, because it's an experience. It's not an idea. As long as we're locked in ideas, we're up here in the head and we're thinking, this is true, this is not true, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, this is my life, this is where I have judgments, this is where I failed, right? We live in our thoughts. And but this expansive feeling, like you mentioned, that the whole top half of your body just got cleared out, that I like to say that when we have these experiences of the true unitary divine nature of being, that it's an experience of infinite energy. And so that our personal hangups can't maintain themselves during that infinite experience. And that's what allows that clearing out of all the baggage that we're carrying from all of our pain and suffering and our ideas. And then at the core of that, as you mentioned, is this self-love, that it's so fundamental, that sense that I can have my personal relationship with the divine, that I can love myself, and that I can live fearlessly, that it's just such a profound gift. And as you're articulating here, it's absolutely transformative. It lets you lead your life in a different way. And that what I love about what you've mentioned here, again, is this self-love, that sometimes when people get on the, quote, spiritual path, I think they get distracted by the idea of acting selflessly for the benefit of others, and they actually neglect to love themselves in the process, and people lead themselves into burnout or to just giving themselves away and not really taking care of yourself. Because when you experience that sense of God in your heart and in your being, you also know that you're the one who has to sustain that relationship. You're the one who has to nurture that love. So just wanted to echo those aspects of what you shared there, because I think they're very important, and that's where the real transformation and the real liberation comes from.
Yeah, those two lessons are the two universal lessons. And I mean universal, every single person that came to the retreat of the years that I worked there face to face, we were instilling those two lessons for every single person. From, you know, we've done treatments for people like 18, 19 doing eating disorders, to like 70, 80, like, you know, looking for the end of life kind of clarity, and to like overcome that fear of death and just a deeper spiritual connection. Every single person had some aspect of like putting themselves first and, you know, instilling a self-love inside themselves. And this was just the steps on their journey back to happiness. And that's like everyone, corporate lawyers, like, you know, executives, I mean, teenagers, I mean, every single person that came to that retreat, the whole spectrum, we're instilling one of those steps of getting closer to that, to realizing those two lessons. And so I think that's just a reflection of like human behavior, and sort of like where at least like most of Western culture is at. It's more like externally focused. It's, you know, most people are kind of fulfilling external expectations, whether it's from parents or society, things like that. And you really have to refocus that lens back on yourself and focus on your needs and what your priorities are and make those priorities about what's truly going to fulfill you in life. And, you know, once you do that, then you have like a really high probability of finding happiness and finding the joy in life, which is really fundamentally why we're here. And then, you know, after you have that, you can also have success, or you can have that simultaneously, because there's like not really any limits. It's just about, you know, you always get what you focus on in life. And most people's like foundation of what they're focusing on is just hasn't been shifted from, you know, earlier childhood understandings. And I'm a person that like had to learn both of these things like in my late 30s. And this is, you know, probably why I found myself in a place of like really kind of really painful like mental health conditions throughout my life. It's because like I didn't have self-love as a foundation. And I look around and I'm like, what, like, why didn't I have that? And the answer is like, nobody really teaches it. You know, yeah. Parents in the 80s didn't like understand this sort of thing. And, you know, certainly it's not instilled in school or like at any time in our like, you know, upbringing. Is it like really like even taught or like even understood? Like as a 30, I remember I learned this when I was 37. And as a 37-year-old man, I had no idea what that even meant. And I think that's still most people like just in the Western world. It's like they really don't even know what that means. And like that's such an interesting thing, being that that is really like how to form a foundation of like mental and spiritual health, and to be your own person and to be the whole person that you are. Like that has to be like built and sustained inside of yourself. And so like those two things, making yourself a priority and not like your parents' expectations, your family even, or even your children, because you can't serve anyone or everyone, especially at a high level, if you haven't really instilled, you know, the fullness of the respect and love that you deserve within yourself first.
Yeah. That sense of worthiness has to come from within.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's so beautiful that you were able to have this level of experience that allowed for these transformations to take place within your life. And, you know, like many people who go through these kinds of experiences, there develops a strong desire to share it with others because it's so impactful for you, for me, for those of us who had these experiences. It's like, yeah, this is the medicine. You know, let alone whatever psychedelic medicine we might be working for, but the true medicine is that sense of self-worthiness, that sense of self-love, and that attention and care to nurturing that relationship within the heart to the divine. And then taking that as inspiration to help others discover and find that within themselves. But now not everyone goes and opens up a retreat. So let's talk a little bit more about that inspiration. I know you said that you started working with some folks who were already working in Mexico, but yeah, let's dive into how that all developed and some of the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah, sure. So it honestly was kind of like just the next steps. I come from a marketing background. I consulted with like agencies for quite some time and helped them like, you know, grow and scale their businesses and, you know, often shift into specific niches and how to like really excel at those things. And so I knew like how to really grow one of these businesses. And I've been in the event space for maybe 15 years. I started doing promotions when I was in my 20s, and I did like neighborhood events, festivals, like concerts, like celebrity events and stuff like that for, you know, almost all of my life. Either as a side gig or as a primary thing. And so like I really knew, you know, like how to do hospitality and those sort of things. And so and going through my mental health journey, I also like worked with a lot of programs and kind of just knew how programs ran just in general from like start to finish, and attended a lot of retreats. And so I knew what I liked and I knew what I didn't like, and I kind of knew what made people happy and what would probably succeed in this space. And so it was kind of like a next logical fit, which is just like super random, because like I would have never done a retreat like business if unless I would have like, you know, that experience I had is what really kind of anchored me into this. I would have never done this otherwise. And so that's what really like inspired the whole impetus of this, is like really bringing this love and this awareness and this healing to just like hundreds of thousands of other people with like the systems and things that we've built. And so that's what kind of got us started. And, Yeah, putting it together was a dream. My partners are the indigenous shaman in Mexico and some of the wisest people I know. I mean, I've learned more about these medicines and people and humans from them than probably anyone that I've like hired as a consultant or a teacher or, you know, someone to understand the mind and psychiatrist and therapist in my entire life, like cumulative like knowledge of that. And they just have so much knowledge. And so it's been really a dream building such a transformational business with people that really understand, you know, themselves and people and medicine and have like a really pure heart and able to help people from that place.
And what can you tell us about the current legal status of these kinds of resorts in Mexico? Now, I know they're becoming very popular. There's more and more kind of showing up all the time. But in terms of, you know, the official narrative of what's legal, what's not legal, what is the status of psilocybin in Mexico at this point and for running these kinds of retreats?
Yeah, for sure. So the government has a law to protect like the indigenous that practice these types of medicines. And so as long as you're using this for like spiritual or personal transformational growth, then you're protected under Mexican law.
Oh, well, that's great. That seems fairly simple and straightforward then. I mean, are there like what's happening right now in the United States that you're probably aware of is that a lot of people are starting up entheogenic churches. And there's a lot of paperwork, for example, to go through in order to register as an entheogenic church and to have services that might be, you know, similar to these retreats that we see in other countries, which we can't really open in the United States yet. And then also here in Oregon, they're starting up, well, it's already going. There's the psilocybin therapy program. And there's a lot of training that you have to go through. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of fees you got to pay. So it's very convoluted in the United States so far. But is it relatively easy within Mexico to be able to do this and to say, look, we're practicing indigenous tradition. We're using psilocybin mushrooms that have ancient lineage within Mesoamerican cultures. But yeah, if you could just tell us a little bit more about that side of things.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've always worked with like indigenous partners. And so like that's never been really an issue. And they've also been doing this as a business since like 2012. And so they've already kind of established, they're really like well integrated with the government, the locals. I mean, the whole kind of spectrum of like everybody that's important and that you'd like, you know, to know in this space, they've kind of already established those relationships. So it's been really smooth journey for us. And I think it is going to be different in like different places in Mexico, wherever you go. Sometimes things are like more like widely adopted or sometimes they're not. And there's like really one like Mexican kind of shamanic network that sort of like oversees everything and kind of like learns about the new processes and make sure people are like vetted that are doing this type of work. And that's like really well integrated and that's been around for generations. And so like, we're all really connected with that. And like we still source all of our materials from that same network. And so it's a really smooth journey for us. I can't say what it'd be like if like you're not part of that and like if you're not connected, because like there's always a risk of, you know, just like whatever in Mexico if like you're just kind of throwing something together, you know, like I don't know, I can't speak on that as far as like other regions and like you know, you're always gonna be working with like local governments and stuff like that if you're doing something at scale. And so yeah, I can only speak from my own personal experience.
Okay. So with Sayulita Wellness Retreat, why Sayulita? Is there something in particular about that area that was well suited for this kind of work? And actually, I just had a friend who recently went to the area and said that he visited a retreat while he was there, that he was invited just to participate in some of their activities. So I know that there's at least a few other psychedelic retreats that are in the area. But why Sayulita?
Yeah, Sayulita is where I originally is where we launched the business, and we had a really great villa, like oceanfront, a little bit north of Sayulita, and so that's where we got the brand from. And pretty shortly thereafter, you know, we tried a couple different facilities. We kind of like needed some more space and needed some just more kind of accoutrements. Like we have a spa on site and other things like that now. So it makes it like much more convenient and like a lot more space to really kind of have these types of retreats and that sort of thing, like at our new facility. And so we've since like moved out of Sayulita, we're actually in La Cruz. We're closer to Punta Mita, which is it's more like private gated communities and that sort of thing. And so we have a lot more privacy and just a lot more control over the experience. And it's a very peaceful environment. Sayulita is kind of a party town Tuesday through Saturday. And so it's not conducive for like wellness retreats and that sort of thing, just in our personal experience. And so we've since moved out of Sayulita and we kept the name because why not?
Yeah. I guess you're probably not too far away from Sayulita.
Yeah, it's like probably 15-20 minute drive. There's no traffic.
Yeah. So maybe just explain to us a little bit about what is the idea behind luxury psilocybin retreat? Because this is also something that we're seeing kind of more of now, is this idea of a luxury retreat where, you know, people can go on a luxury retreat and then also have a luxury psychedelic retreat. So it's kind of has a lot of these elements that they might have from other forms of quote unquote vacations. But this, of course, is involving also intensive inner work and journeying as well. So what comes with the idea of a luxury psilocybin wellness retreat?
For sure. So, I mean, when you're going through an experience like this, you don't want to worry about anything else besides your own personal journey. And, you know, as far as the fundamental side, if you have like everything taken care of, like you're not getting bit by mosquitoes, like you're not sharing a room with somebody, you're not like worried about the sheets being dirty, you know what I'm saying? Like I've been to a lot of retreats. And so like, I understand like the full spectrum of like what, you know, there is as far as what's available. And like, when you're going through an experience, you want to focus on yourself and you don't want to have distractions. And so having a nice environment, having an environment that you feel really safe in, that's cultivated for you, that you're going to be like eating, you know, really healthy food that's going to detoxify your body while you're going through this. Like all the extra stuff is taken care of. You're not like, you know, worried about, you know, how you're going to get like from the airport to the place. Like you've got, you know, a black SUV just taking you right there. It's not like some weird like Volkswagen thing or something, you know. It's stressful enough to like leave a country, go to a new place, do psychedelics. You might as well have the rest of the stuff taken care of for you. And we try to really dial in all the variables that create a successful experience at our retreat. And our original goal was like have 80%+ success rate as far as people realizing their intentions. And we've like far exceeded that and been consistent with that since, you know, last couple of years. And so a lot of that has to do with us like filling in all those gaps of like what really creates a profound experience. And having like the luxury thing, I mean, it just makes people happy. It makes people feel more at peace. They're in a beautiful environment. They have space to like relax and just kind of let go. There's like hammocks, there's cabanas, like there's a rooftop, there's a pool. There's just like a great experience where it makes it easier to let go, and letting go is like the fundamental step in the journey to healing when it comes to psychedelics, and probably when it comes to life in general. And so that's an important part for the whole experience. And, you know, for those of you who like type A or what is it, type B experiences, like where you're going to fucking, you know, lose a shoe and, you know, get hit in the neck with a fucking dart by a shaman or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, go for it, you know. But I've had those experiences and I've been to those like shamanic experiences, and like I didn't get the benefits that I got at this retreat. And so, you know, for my personal bias, like that's what really like sealed the deal for me and for hundreds of other people that have walked through this journey, you know, personally. And, you know, like I know a lot of the people in the business and I know what their success rates are. And it's like when you fill all those gaps, you have such a higher success rate. And that's really what we're aiming to do, is create profound transformations for people.
Yeah. Well, it certainly makes sense when you put it into that context that, you know, there are the very adventurous psychonauts who, you know, they want to maybe trek through the jungle. They want to deal with mosquitoes. They just want to be out there in nature and they're not intimidated by that. But if we're looking at clientele who are coming with maybe severe depression, severe anxiety, lifelong troubles that they're looking for relief from, kind of packaging it with that idea of like, you're going to be pampered and totally taken care of, and you're going to have lots of opportunity to relax and get in touch with yourself through these various different modalities, from kayaking to lounging on the beach, yoga, breath work, and psychedelic work, that can certainly ease a lot of anxiety. And that, as you say, that's one of the major indicators of whether it's going to quote unquote be successful or not, is if someone can relax, let their guard down, and let the work happen. And if it's just a situation that is anxious in and of itself, like, I don't know how I'm going to get to the retreat. I don't know where I'm going to stay. I don't know where my next meal's coming from, but I'm doing, you know, three rounds of ayahuasca, that's great for the fearless and adventurous, but for people who are coming in a very sensitive place, that having all these things taken care of, I can definitely see the appeal of that.
And like, I'm a firm believer that like, you can come to psychedelics and just get what you need, you know, from a single experience. And you know, like, I was one of those like psychonauts for a while. You know, I did like recreational psychedelics, and I did like a lot of like shamanic retreat type things. And the question that I have now is like, everyone is doing that, including myself for like years, is like, why, what aren't you learning? Like, what aren't you getting from that experience? You know what I'm saying? It's like every psychedelic teaches you the same lesson, because we're always on the same lesson in life until we get over it. Right. And so like, for the people, including myself, that are like, done ayahuasca like, you know, 20 plus times and things like that, and have like self-administered and done like all these things that, you know, for the experience of it, it just comes down to like, what lesson like do I still need to get from that experience, right? And you know, I've asked myself that same question about like, why this profound experience happened at the retreat that I went to, right? Mm-hmm. Myself personally. And I think it's a number of factors, but I think it was the really positive treatment I got from my providers. And I think it was their legitimate experience of like having decades of experience doing this. Like, you know, a shaman or a provider holds a window open for this person's awareness to connect. And so if you imagine like two people in a room, when psychedelics are in the space, there's really just one consciousness in the room. So that person that's holding space provides understandings that they've sort of like experienced or known on their journeys in life. And so you want someone that's really just experienced in life, and, you know, not just on like the physical side, but on the, you know, the spiritual and the transformational side of like where you really realize yourself. And I think those factors are important. So I think having a really great staff, and I think having the support and the integration, I've had like such a great team to like get me prepared and to really reflect and gain the most out of these experiences in order to put them into practice in my life. Because I think all of that combined creates like the permanent transformation in your life, where like, I didn't even touch psychedelics for like a year plus since that journey. And I think I've only microdosed like after that, in the sense where like, when you have an experience that's done right and you really, you know, turn all the knobs that are important to create and facilitate a permanent transformational journey, then you don't really need like to keep coming back to psychedelics and keep, you know, dipping your toe in the pond, because you get the full benefits, the full spectrum of those benefits from it.
Yeah, it's almost, we could say it's the difference between being a receiver versus kind of being a perpetual seeker of like, well, where's the next experience, next experience, next experience, versus like, I've received it, now it's time to live it, you know, and that's where the real change happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, just looking at the website, I've got it called up here on my desktop here. We've got transformational retreats, corporate retreats, and couples retreats. Maybe tell us a little bit about these different things that are offered, and then what would be the trajectory for people in terms of making their first inquiry, to how do people participate in these, and then what would they expect going through these, potentially these different kinds of retreats that are offered through Sayulita?
Yeah, it's a great question. So yeah, we do the transformational retreats are just like the thing I went to. And so that's for somebody that's just looking to really just kind of like level up in life, do it like overall nervous system reset, you know, overcome like anxieties, fears, stress, depression, burnout, overwhelm, things like that. and I just kind of move forward in life and, you know, let go of those things and really be able to, like, you know, align with the path and the purpose that's really meant for you. And so the steps as far as like the actions to take to get connected with us, the first thing is just like check out the website, you know, watch some testimonials. And then whenever you're ready, you can like apply. And then somebody from our team will reach out and just have a quick conversation with you to kind of find out where you're at, what you're looking to achieve as a result of going to a retreat. And then if everything's a good fit, we kind of go from there and just go through the process of qualification and, you know, going through the next steps and basically just like getting you on board if everything's a good fit. And so as far as that's what the transformation retreats look like. And those are all personal one-on-one therapeutic retreats. So you're going to have like your own provider, your own space, controlled setting and everything. And all the stuff that we've mentioned so far as well. And so as far as the couples retreats, wow, we've had like really great experiences with couples this last couple of months. We really just like launched this not long ago, and we've got just incredible experiences with couples that come down. So we do like the MDMA therapy and the psilocybin therapy for couples. We have like a really great like dinner and entertainment at the end of the week to really cement like the relationship and the whole week, and just kind of like as a celebration of all the transformation that like each partner has gone through throughout the week. And it's a really bespoke and wonderful program to go through to like rekindle a relationship. We have couples that reach out that are like, you know, maybe separated and they want to get back together. You know, they want to just heal themselves to be better partners or be better for themselves and have a like a natural, better connection in their relationship. You know, obviously to like, you know, improve like the amount of love that they feel and to feel sort of that renewed sense of that relationship like it used to be whenever it got started. Those are kind of like the general intentions for people that come to the retreat. And what they find at the retreat is just a really like powerful transformational experience where they heal themselves. They are able to reset and sort of like let go of all the stuff that is kind of stuck back home in the relationship with work and the stress and everything else. And kind of go to a new space to renew, to like incubate, and to really reconnect and rebuild like a stronger relationship together. So that's kind of what the couples retreat looks like overall. And then our corporate retreats are like larger scale. We do groups of like 6 to 60 retreats for executives or leadership teams or companies that want to really make a positive change and a permanent change for the mental health of their leadership and their employees.
Yeah, let me just ask you a little bit more about, I'm particularly interested in this last one with the corporate retreats. That are these, do you find that these are becoming more increasingly popular, that corporations are looking to do this kind of work with their leadership or with their teams? It just seems such a kind of an interesting area.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a couple different like spectrums of people that kind of find us about this. One is like we have a lot of executives and people that come to the retreat and then they want to bring back their leadership team or bring back like the rest of like their team that they work with because they had a profound experience with us. And so that's really where this whole thing started a couple years ago. That just like was a question that we answered. And so that's how we originally built the thing. And now who finds us? Like we have people that like run programs and like already do things like with corporate retreats find us. And we've already got like the whole retreat thing dialed in as far as like bespoke services, like all the wellness aspects, like a great hospitality staff and like accommodations and everything. It's all really set up. And so we do like two different types of retreats. One, like, you know, we can do them with the mushrooms or without the mushrooms. It's still like a really great experience either way. And so we have these experiences for usually programs that are looking to, sometimes they'll have like virtual programs leading up and they'll want to do like all the face-to-face stuff like at a retreat, like kind of away from the company. This is kind of like the tried and true way to do like meetings. You want everybody to be kind of out of their head and like in a new creative mind for like, you know, resetting to the next quarter or to make like plans for the next year. It's kind of traditional for leadership teams to kind of get together and like go outside of where they normally operate in order to do that. And so like that's a really great benefit of having like a corporate retreat setting with like everything already taken care of, where people come to us, they kind of cherry pick like the parts of our program that they want us to employ. And then they usually add their sugar and spice to the mix of like what they want to teach and what they want to instill as far as like you know, with their teams and that sort of thing as well.
Something that comes up sometimes for people is this fear, this idea like, well, if I end up taking psychedelics and kind of do a deep dive into myself, that I might find that actually I don't want to be in my relationship, or I don't want to be in my job, or I don't want to be in this profession. You know, that sometimes people have fears that there could be these radical changes that might be called forth from their psychedelic experience. I'm wondering if you have any reflections on that, particularly through these corporate retreats or for the couples retreats. Do you find that these tend to bring people more together and more enthused for their chosen partners and chosen path? Or sometimes do we have these sort of radical disruptions that take place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I originally thought about this, I was like, I have no idea. In my mind before my experience is like I'm like, some of these people probably won't like have a good connection or blah blah blah, or like want to go the opposite way. But in our experience, everyone that's come through has had a profound and positive experience that's reconnected them with themselves and with their partners. And that's for like the couples retreats. And so that's been a resounding, total positive experience with the people that come down. And I think that is like natural, like, you know, love heals, and love really like reinstills values and helps you reconnect and get clarity on like who you are and like what you do want in relationships. And I think if you want to heal a relationship on a deeper level, which is really what's going to draw you to a retreat, then that relationship is probably meant to be. And so I think that's kind of why that exists in a general sense. And as far as like the corporate thing, I mean, when you become like happier and more fulfilled, like I'll just say this, you recognize that like, and this seems kind of strange, but like what you do is not as important as who you are. And so doing psychedelics and going through these journeys help you realize who you are. And like, I'm at a place that kind of in my life where like I was very, very ambitious for like a number of years, like had a lot of successful companies in my like late 20s and 30s. And, you know, like I'm at a place where like I just love to work and do the things that I like to do and help the world at a higher scale. And that's sort of like the whole thing. I'm not very picky about like what I put my hands on, as long as it's like in integrity with my values and those sort of things. And so the real change happens as a reconnection with yourself. And from that reconnection with yourself, you have more energy, you have better ideas, you're able to fulfill like your purpose and increase your performance at like a much higher scale. And you're doing it from a place of like relaxed being and not stressed, and you have a sense of peace while you do it. And so the most important thing is to come back into that. And like what you do really doesn't matter after that, because you'll always be successful because you're coming from the right place and you're doing with a much stronger will, and you have a much stronger clarity about like who you are and what you like to do. And so you'll simply be a more successful person as a result of coming out of this. And so I have not seen a lot of fluctuation in people's like businesses, and like, you know, they typically do much better and they typically grow and they typically work longer. We've had like people that were ready to retire be like, I'm just going to keep doing this. This is like they kind of restructured their company, rebuilt the relationships within the company. We've seen this a lot with a lot of business owners. They started like infusing positivity like into their employees. Everyone sort of lit up and started changing and liked coming to work again. And we saw really positive changes in overall companies as a result of just like, you know, teams or owners going through this process. And so I've only seen it help people's prosperity and their businesses grow and their performance increase as far as my personal experience the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really interesting area and perhaps one that could be researched more, because, you know, when we're dealing with individuals, and then they can reflect on, here's the way my life improved. But actually in this more corporate realm, that there's a potential for a much more broader impact by people who are going through these transformative experiences, because they have an influence over so many other people's lives in terms of, you know, if you're running a large business, you might have hundreds or thousands of employees. And if you start to say, hey, I want to introduce positivity into my work environment and kind of filter that down through all the different levels of my business, that it's just a very interesting idea of like tracking these positive changes from psychedelic experience and then how many people it gets to impact down the road. So it's just kind of an interesting question. And it's interesting that you've had such positive results so far. Now, something I wanted to ask you about is that you did say that when someone reaches out and makes contact, that eventually someone from the team reaches out and there's sort of an initial intake and interview. And you mentioned about people finding if it's a good fit for them. So within the category of bad fit, what might be a bad fit, or are there particular health issues that you guys might be screening for? Or if somebody comes with their motivation, says, well, I want to take psychedelics so I can take over the world or something, and it's like, well, maybe this isn't the right place. But just what are those criteria that you guys are looking at?
Yeah, for sure. For first part, someone has like a genuine, like positive intention that they want to achieve at a retreat. And so sometimes like the first call is just kind of like breaking down and finding out what this person wants to achieve here, you know? And so that's like step one, is like really having someone that's genuine, someone that's like, you know, ready to be transparent about like what they want to heal or change within themselves or within their life. And getting that really clear is kind of the first step. And then, so after that, there's like obviously medical qualifications where you've got to, you know, basically in like good enough shape to go through an experience like this. And so like the things that like disqualify you, it's kind of a long list, but it's like most of the list is very rare stuff. You know, some really significant like mental health history that could be a challenge. Then like the medical things that could be like a challenge. Like I have a lot of conversations with neurologists and psychologists and, you know, people's like medical team, just to basically like get okay from their team, like for specific circumstances, and okay with like we have our own physicians, our own registered nurses and our own like staff and everything, like pharmacologists and stuff like that. And so like, you know, some of the stuff was like case by case, but it's like a long list. I couldn't like name it on a podcast. But yeah, like just like, you know, most people are qualified. I'd say 98% of people are probably qualified because it's psychedelic mushrooms are a pretty safe experience. And so it's not something that is like really easy to disqualify for. It's different than ayahuasca. It's different than like 5-MeO and stuff like that. You got to be much more stringent with those things because of like health complications, but mushrooms are much, much easier. And there's like not an overdose potential and stuff like that. So it's easier to kind of go through that qualification process with mushrooms. And that would be like the general answer to that without going off the
Okay, thanks. Yeah, it's always nice to know that, you know, these things are being considered. And of course, in most cases, people are going to be fine, but it's good to know that there's some kind of health screening that's taking place there and, you know, asking people questions about what's going on with them just to see where they're at. So in terms of the trajectory, like if somebody signs up for a transformational retreat, like maybe they're, what is it, like 8 days or something like that? Or I'm not quite sure what the length is, but what are all the different elements that they're getting when they join up for a program like that?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So, you know, we do like obviously the therapeutic experience with mushrooms. We usually do two of those macrodoses and two micros like on like a single retreat. And we also have like a lot of like obviously medical staff, like I kind of mentioned, we have physicians to check everyone in, psychologists to do the integration and the preparation and the aftercare as well. So we have really great certified team to do all of that and is really well trained in the psychedelic space to be able to handle the myriad of issues that, you know, people have going through this journey and really help them integrate and get the highest benefit from these experiences. And like outside of that, we have like a lot of wellness experiences like massage, yoga, hypnotherapy, sound therapy, ice bath, breath work, somatic movement, just things along those lines, like a number of different spa services for like our couples retreats and stuff like that. So we have like quite a lot of services as far as like the wellness side that we include. And then we have like, you know, beautiful oceanfront you know, combinations where it's like you can watch the sunset and sunrise every day. It's a really beautiful, serene environment to kind of relax in. And so, like, the kind of number of those factors to just help the whole experience be really relaxed and like really healing and really profound. And we also have a great menu. It's all anti-inflammatory, so that's really fantastic. And it's like eating food that just makes you feel light, it makes you feel energized, and it is so delicious. It feels like you're eating every 2 hours when you're down there. And it's like all cooked by a gourmet chef, so it's absolutely delicious. And I've had more than enough people insult our entire staff by saying the food was the best part of the retreat. And so quite a compliment and quite an insult to everyone else. And it's like, you know, we just fulfilled this incredible journey. It's like, but that food was amazing. So the food is really that good and we're happy about it. And that's part of the pinnacles of the retreat and part I really like when I go down there as well. So yeah, that's kind of like the overall scope. And we're also like a genuine, like all-inclusive retreat. So we really take care of everything from pickup to drop off at the airport, and like the rest, you can just kind of relax your eyes and just have a great time.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if you guys ever have issues with, you know, like runners, you know, where someone in the middle of their psychedelic experience, they're like, no, I'm out of here. I don't like turn it off. I'm done. You know, cause that sometimes happens. Is that something that shows up? Are there any protocols for dealing with somebody who might be in one of those, like, I've got to escape kind of modes, you know, that it's not universally common by any means, but it happens on occasion where people are like, it's time for me to leave right now. What might happen in a situation like that? Or even have you had that at all?
That's a great question. So usually like a problem like that is kind of solved in like qualification side of the retreat. And so, you know, a person really has to be ready. Like we have a lot of questions that we ask. That's like, cool. After we get clear on like what this person wants to achieve, as far as like, what a successful retreat looks like for that person. Like we all go over that in like the first call. And so that person has to know what they're looking to achieve there and also be committed to making that a success. And so like, that's really, I think the part that helps clear a lot of the people that might be like, you know, wanting to change like on surface, but like on a deeper level, really like not wanting to go through a process and not wanting to like really get the benefits of the experience. And so I think that helps a lot. And as far as like the overall retreat, I mean, obviously like Free Will Universe, you know, like all of our services and all the things we offer are completely optional. And if somebody wants to just hit the eject button, that would be perfectly fine. But I think we have an absolutely gorgeous environment and incredible staff where like that's a tough thing to do. And everyone at our retreat genuinely loves being there and loves being a part of that process and loves our clients. And I know this, like, I know I'm not there anymore, but I hear that from more clients than like I would have ever imagined any business ever. Like your customers saying, hey, your staff loved us and just showed it and we felt it and it made the experience absolutely magnificent. I hear that so often that like it just makes me tickle on the inside. And I think it's just such a joy to be in an industry that like you can have a business like that. Cause like, I mean, I had multiple roofing companies and stuff like that. I never heard that my entire life. Right. You know, like retail stores, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just such a dream to be in a space where like that can be a reality. So I think that's really wonderful. And, you know, as far as you asked for specific experiences, I think the only time we've had experiences like that are when people were on like really serious medications and, you know, there's only so much control you can kind of put into an experience like this where people have like kind of, I know this for a fact because like we've had like evidence, but people have like taken medications, like, you know, taking things that like did not work well with medicine. And like, we found out after the fact, like they got it from a friend or something, like, you know, and just like, those are like kind of tough cases because like that can block the experience of the psychedelic. Yeah. And then that person can be frustrated. That person can be like kind of acting like in, you know, a lot of different types of ways. And so like, that's really been like the source of any problem like that. And like, you know, people that we do a lot of like addiction treatment, people that bring like, you know, are like shown up, you know, under the influence of alcohol, like we just can't help them. We turn them away. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, like things like that, kind of ring a bell from what you're asking about. But yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, as far as the overall experience, it's a really delightful place, and it's more like a pillow to kind of like just land on. And, it's a safe space that you really don't want to leave. And we also like constructed it that way. We do really small groups of like 5-6 people. And so we have a lot of control. We have really high staff to client ratio. It's literally like 1-to-1 on like the retreat. We have like 15 staff members. And like, as people kind of roll in and out, we've got like 5 or 6 clients. And so we've got like such a like profound amount of like care that we can give an experience like this, that people really get enough attention to feel that connection and to really genuinely want to be here.
Yeah. So now, looking at the website also, you have a section that's titled the Resource Center. And I see that it looks like you're the author of maybe all of these blog posts that are up on here. And so I just wanted to ask you a little bit about that. It's kind of interesting how you have some different entries here. Like, we have the best plant medicine retreats for families. And then we have the top plant medicine retreats for LGBTQ individuals and the top plant medicine retreats for women. So, what can you tell us about sort of these different demographics and how they're being served within this space? 'Cause not everybody is going to the retreat for the same reasons or want to go with the same people or be in the context of this, in terms of who they're taking medicine with. You know, that sometimes for particularly like women who are coming from a place of having been abused or sexually harmed, that they're going to want like a really safe space. And people who are with families might not necessarily want to be with somebody who's unpacking, you know, decades of PTSD or something. But so tell us a little bit about sort of these differentiations.
Yeah, great question. So I'll just start in the order that you kind of mentioned that. So first, the families, like we have a lot of families come down, like probably like one family a month, which is kind of a lot. And like when I say family, usually it's like a mom and or a dad with like a son or a daughter. And usually like they're all kind of, they're supporting each other. Most of the time they all do medicine and have like really great experience with that. And, you know, like I mentioned, the small groups. And so it really kind of operates like almost like a family with everyone that's down there. Like I remember like the last family that we had a girl is like dealing with eating disorder. She's like still a teenager, like 18 years old or something along those lines, and is there with her mom or dad, and like there with a veteran, there with the veteran's sister, and there with another older gentleman, and they all just like had an absolute blast together at the retreat. And I remember like one of them had a birthday, they had like a big birthday party with everyone. And I mean, the way it kind of works is like there's a, you know, a magic to the medicine and the way it brings people together. And, you know, everyone's kind of going through the same stuff in life because we're all made of the same thing, like the same substance, we have the same needs. And as far as like going through that healing process, you know, healing works the same. It's as fundamental as like, you know, being aware of what's happening, you know, letting go of the emotions around it and being able to like really just move forward in your life and take steps that are going to be best for yourself and the people that you care about. And so like, as people go through this journey, you know, we do most of the therapies one-on-one. And so you have that time to be private and personal and go within your own self and have that deeper reflection just with you and with, you know, professional staff member, like a psychologist or otherwise, to really like help integrate the experience and get the most value out of it. But there's also group experiences where you get to kind of share and connect and learn about people. And, you know, it's really fun to learn about people that are kind of in a different place than you, because it just opens up, you know, the window to like, you know, how much life can offer. And so I think it's been really beautiful. We've we've always had great experiences with families and with those families, like being at the retreat with other people that are on their own journeys. And I think it's really, really cool to have like the younger generation. We can do like, you know, people that are 18 and stuff in Mexico, and it's like perfectly fine. And, you know, as far as like the Mexican culture, like the indigenous treat like everyone in the family, like it would be a tradition for a whole family. Like, you know, even the people that are like 5-6 years old to come and all do bufo or like all do like a plant medicine. And so that's like a natural thing down in Mexico. So it's much more like widely accepted. And we've had just a tremendous amount of like beautiful families come down and heal together and build stronger family relationships and also build stronger people within those families, which is really beautiful. And yeah, I can talk more about the specific experiences, but I'll shift gears. The LGB community is like, well, first off, Puerto Vallarta is like 30 minutes away, and it is probably like the gay capital of the world. And so we have a lot of people that come over there that are either on vacation or just kind of became aware of us through proxy. And so we've treated just a lot of that community at our retreat center. And, you know, the more the merrier. Some of the most like beautiful experiences, we've had a lot of couples come down, male and male, female, female, and just go through the retreat and have wonderful experiences. We've also found that the like LGBT staff is also the most wonderful staff to have. And so that is a big part of like our program as well, is having, you know, really people that just understand the full spectrum of life and are able to kind of approach people's problems from a place of neutrality and love and understanding. And, you know, I think that, you know, that community understands that more than probably anyone on earth. And so, yeah, that's a beautiful part of the retreat. And as far as like the individual experiences, well, like, of course, it's always all going to be the same because we're all just human and we're all healing the same things and going through our own personal experiences. And so that's been a really beautiful part of our retreat. And that opening up to that has just been, it's been a dream. It's been like really, really easy and really simple and really joyful for us. And so, yeah, that's been a big part of the retreat. And let's see here. I don't think you mentioned anyone else.
The retreats for women.
Oh, I don't think, yeah. Like, we have a predominant woman, like more women than men come to the retreat. And that's always been that way. And I think that's because women are more open to medicine and also more kind of tuned into the whole retreat experience. But we basically market mostly to women because that's who basically comes to our retreat the most.
Yeah.
And so we've had a lot of retreats that ended up just coincidentally being all women. And those are like really some of the easiest and most beautiful retreats because women are so fluid. Like they're so natural with the medicine. You know, if you have a very like structured mental framework, then it's probably going to take a little bit like more time, or, you know, you're probably going to make it a little bit harder on yourself to like really change and really let go and really let, you know, that healing or that transformation happen. And with women, they're just open. They're ready to just explode with the universe and let go and kind of be free and, you know, express their emotions and be really transparent and kind of like go through those things that are necessary to like take the next steps in life. And so, yeah, I think that's really, really positive, profound. And, we've certainly attracted way more women than men, and, you know, we welcome our men, and I'm certainly one of them, so like no complaints there. And, but yeah, we just noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. It is an interesting demographic, 'cause that's something that I've heard from a lot of other retreat leaders and people running these kinds of programs, is that most often that it's, much more leaning towards women. And oftentimes they do mention this, women who is coming with some kind of trauma that they've experienced. And so they're really looking for a safe space that they can go through these experiences often with other women. But it's just an interesting demographic of how much it leans towards the feminine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's been great. And then we also like have most of our staff is either like LGB or just female, like basically to kind of facilitate all the experiences. It makes it a lot smoother journey since most of our clients are women, and you know, that just makes it easier.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe in a lot of cases, men tend to have more of that sense of independence of like, well, I'll do it on my own. So I think maybe a lot of men treat themselves at home, like they learn about, oh, psilocybin mushrooms for anxiety or depression, and then perhaps they're treating themselves but not taking the step to go to a retreat, whereas women, I think, might be more likely to look for a supportive environment. You know, I don't have any statistical data to back any of that up, but it's what I've noticed anecdotally speaking.
Yeah, definitely. It could be true. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I've been taking up your time today, but I just wanted to circle back around to one of the things that you mentioned when we started, but it sounds like you have ambitions to help bring this kind of work into more communities and in places outside of Mexico. Is that accurate? Are you looking to potentially expand in the future to other places, or is the focus for now just going to be Sayulita wellness in Mexico?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, as like our general values, like are universal. And so like, I really plan on just like injecting this into every business that we get involved with and continue to help like help and nurture like the businesses that are growing here in the States that are involved in this space. It's like the wellness or the psychedelic space. And so that's part of our vision that we're accomplishing right now. And of course, like the service centers down here, like we've got like a retreat center, lined up, but I'd rather do like the more service center type thing. And I think that would be like a more efficient like model to kind of implement here in the States. And so that's part of like our vision and goals, is really taking everything that we've learned over the years and the decades of doing this type of work and really just, repeating the same model up here in the States.
So by services center, do you mean more like what's happening in Oregon, where you're working with a therapist and then you have a psilocybin experience and do some integration work, not necessarily like a week long program, right? Where it's more directly targeted for people working with specific ailments of anxiety, depression, PTSD, something like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like we're in the process of like in the application or in the licensing process right now in Oregon, and then same thing in Colorado. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, is there anything that we didn't cover that I didn't ask you about that you want to mention before I let you go for today?
Oh man. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for the really great questions and everything we've gone over has been really, really wonderful. It's great speaking with you.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Andrew. And we'll just remind the listening audience again, we've been speaking about Sayulita Wellness Retreat. And so that's also the website. Sayulita is Sayulita, then Wellness Retreat. It's all as one word, .com. And you can find out more about the Sayulita Wellness Retreat there. And yeah, if people wanted to get in touch with you, is that something that you're open to?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so would they just contact you through the website here?
Yeah, that works. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Andrew. Really appreciate it. I always like kind of getting the accounts from people who are in the field on the ground, you know, who are, you know, it's one thing to philosophize about psychedelics or, you know, things like that, but actually to hear about what's happening at retreats, what's happening with people who are facilitating and working and what kind of results they're getting and what their clientele is, I think is always very interesting. So thank you for sharing all of that with us today.
Absolute pleasure, Martin. Thank you.
All right.